Live from South Florida, it's Friday Night Live. Welcome, welcome to everyone. My name is David Jackson. I pastor the Miami and West Palm Beach, Florida congregations, and it is indeed a pleasure to be with you this evening. As mentioned last month, Friday Night Live has been revamped to be actually live, and the presenters are planning to make the Bible studies a little more interactive. For tonight's presentation, there was a four-question survey that many of you took. I thank all of those who responded to the survey. The results have been incorporated into the presentation for this evening. We have people joining us from many different locations around the country, a few international areas as well. And we received survey results from around the country as well. This map shows the regions where many of the surveys over the last few days were answered from. And I'm sure many different age groups joined in on the survey. As of right now, over 250 people participated in the survey, resulting in over 750 responses, 750 answers to the different questions. Thank you for your input. It's been excellent. Again, welcome to Friday Night Live. Well, let's get started. I'll open with prayer. So if you can safely do so, please bow your heads. Dear great eternal Father God in heaven, we're so very thankful to come before you this evening on this Sabbath evening, Father God, here on the East Coast that has begun. And we know that the sun is setting in other areas as time moves forward. We thank you so much for your heavenly design. We ask for your inspiration over the Bible study tonight. Father, we're going to be discussing a very serious topic, a topic, Father God, that our young adults asked to be covered, and certainly asked for your inspiration, not only on the delivery, on the technology, but Father, especially on the hearing, so that we can take these things in, Father God, and make changes in our life where appropriate. We thank you so much for all of your blessings. And again, we turn this time over into your hands, asking these things of you in the name and by the authority of your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The title of my presentation tonight is Broken Parent, Broken Family, What Would God Have Me to Do? Broken parent, broken family, what would God have me to do? You know, challenges within a family unit are most often huge and very complex. You know, in a one-hour presentation, it's impossible to cover everything that needs to be said, but prayerfully, what I will present and what I'll cover this evening will be informative and prayerfully helpful. Now, I preface this presentation with a comment, however. This presentation is directed to young adults. And given that it is for young adults, I'm presenting this material that is intended for a mature audience. Therefore, if families are tuned in, you may want to listen to the presentation this evening first and then decide if the content is appropriate for non-adult children. Or just be sure to discuss the topics that we cover tonight with any non-adult children who are with us during this Bible study. Now, the question or subject that Kagwa Young Adults asked to be presented on Friday Night Live, which I'm addressing this evening, is the following. Broken families. Broken families. One parent in the church and one not. Number two, honoring the divorced parent. And number three, how to honor parents when there has been adultery. Now, when I read the selections of the top 10 or 12 topics posed by our young adults to be addressed on Friday Night Live, it was this topic that I selected because it echoed my own experience as a second generation Church of God member. Therefore, I want to provide insight, not just from a theological, clinical, counseling, or pastoral perspective, I'll also be providing information from a very personal perspective. You know, the objective of this evening is to present biblically based instructions for you to consider, things for you to consider as young adults, things that you can pray about as young adults who may be impacted by a broken family personally or support other friends or other family members who are dealing with major troubles in their family. I'll begin by acknowledging the feelings and the emotions that accompany broken families. I'll acknowledge that by looking at the results that have been submitted in our survey. This diagram, this picture here, shows what the question was, what one word do you think describes the feelings of someone from a broken family? I'll read through the items on this particular screen. You know, the larger the word, the more frequently it was used and repeated by others on the survey. On this screen are over 54 different words that were submitted. That shows how complex and serious this subject is. I'll read these from the most frequently submitted words to the ones that were only submitted once or twice. First one that was, the first two that are the largest were hurt, then lonely, conflicted, confused, sadness, lost, damaged, sad, shame, abnormal, alone, angry, disoriented, hurting, incomplete, torn, unfulfilled, unloved, worried, anguished, broken, challenged, confusion, defective, defensive, depression, desperate, despondent, determined, different, especially in the church, disheartened, distressed, doubt, envious, forgotten, frustrated, frustration, grief, guilty, hopeless, insecurity, instability, isolated, a misfit, mistrusting, mixed up, pain, rejected, scared, searching, sorry, uncertainty, unsettled, unwanted. That list is incredible. What's amazing is that those lists were submitted without anyone knowing what anyone else was submitting. So it shows just how complex this subject is and how serious it is. All of those feelings, all of those emotions are very valid and understandable. These feelings and emotions that most have don't disappear with age. The next question that was asked on the survey was, what do you think are the top three reasons for a broken family? You can see the results here. You know, the survey presented a list of reasons for a broken family, and the graph shows responses as a percentage. The highest percentage response for a broken family was divorced parents. Divorced parents came up with 24% of the survey, emotional abuse, 19%, infidelity by a parent, 14%, verbal abuse, 11%, physical abuse, 9%, one person in the church, one not, 8%, one parent household, 7%, separated parents, 7%. Very insightful, very insightful. It's very insightful because the last three are one parent in the church, one not, one parent household, and separated parents. Those ended up at the lowest level of defining a broken family. You know, as a perspective on what we may think of as a broken family, I want you to consider this and read with me this anonymous comment titled Broken, Broken. This individual wrote, quote, society sees a divorced family as a broken family. This is one of my pet peeves. We were not broken anymore. We were whole. So after the divorce, this particular person is saying now they feel whole. Said no more yelling, hitting, controlling, or emotional abuse. When my son was four, he said to me, Mommy, when I am a man, I won't hit you. He remembered what he witnessed at 2 years old. When I was divorced, I got custody and he got visitation, which he lost because of behavior that was inappropriate. My son's doctor backed me up on that. So tonight I'm using the term broken as that was the term that was submitted by our young adults in the request for the subject to be addressed on Friday Night Live. But broken can be substituted with many different terms, many different feelings, many different results, many different emotions, many of those that we already read through. However, in a one-parent household or where parents are separated or divorced, the family might actually feel more healed than broken. So we have to acknowledge that. And with that perspective of broken, ultimately this evening, I want to provide our young adults with three primary thoughts or considerations to understanding and answering the question, broken parent, broken family, what would God have me to do? Broken parent, broken family, what would God have me to do? Again, we're going to cover three considerations, the three things that you should consider, three things to pray about. Consideration number one. As a young adult, consider asking the question, what happened to you versus what's wrong with you? Consider asking the question, what happened to you versus what's wrong with you? And we often find ourselves as young adults of troubled families, not knowing much at all about the background of our parents or caregivers. We often don't know much about their history, what they've gone through in life. You know, the automatic question we ask when our parents openly or internally go through some very bad things and bad things happen, or adultery happens or divorce happens, is what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And that is a valid request. That is a valid question. You know, as a young adult in a troubled family, I want to encourage you to ask the question of your parents, what happened to you versus what's wrong with you? So often the problems that persist in a family go back to trauma that parents experienced as children, as teenagers, as young adults, or bad choices that parents made long before you ever came into this world. That was the case with my parents. And that is likely the case with many of your parents. Previous experiences and bad choices long before I came on the scene led to major problems in our family. And because of ongoing bad decisions, family dynamics got worse and worse over time. The family became broken. First, a little bit about my background, which led me to understand this important point in asking my parents, what happened to you? What happened to you? I'll spare you considerable detail as I share some history of my own family. The Bible tells us to share our burdens, share our problems one to another. This is one to many, but hopefully as I share some of my personal experiences, it will be helpful to you in examining that question, what happened to you versus what's wrong with you. Now, I've been in the church my entire life, being a second generation Church of God Christian. My parents, who are both deceased, were married in the early 1950s. Both sides of my parents' family were very sincere and very religious, primarily Baptist and Pentecostal on my father's side, Methodist on my mother's. At the time of my father's calling, he was a Baptist minister. My father began attending the Radio Church of God in the mid-1950s. My mother was never called. My mother was never called. There were seven children, a part of our household, but by the time I was born in the early 1960s, there was only five siblings left. Again, what happened? My oldest brother was only minutes old before he died in the midst of being born, feet first. It was the 1950s. My mother, who was Black, had been taken by emergency to a predominantly white hospital. The doctor on duty refused to provide emergency medical care. After seeing her, he intentionally left my mother on a gurney in the waiting room, hemorrhaging as the baby died with his feet protruding from her body. My mother was 22. My father was 24. 4 years later, my oldest sister, who was my father's daughter from another woman, was burned tragically at 6 years old when her nightgown caught fire as she was standing too close to the stove in the kitchen. She lived in severe agony and pain for several days as my parents watched her slowly die. My parents were 26 and 28 at the time. 2 years later, my mother's father, who was a police officer, was murdered by poison that was put into his coffee cup at a public cafe. He lived several days as my parents watched him suffer, watched him drown in his own fluids. My parents were 28 and 30 at the time. That same year, I was born into the family. The last of the siblings in the early 1960s, the year my grandfather was poisoned. My mother was pregnant with me at the time and she was not allowed to go to her father's funeral. My father's parents had a tumultuous relationship. They had been separated for as long as I can remember, but never divorced. Divorce was not an accepted practice in our family culture. My father's father, my grandfather, lived in a different state with someone else. My grandmother lived in our city and was both the matriarch and the anchor of the family. By the time I was born, although my father had been called into the church and was an active participating member who was later ordained a deacon, they had experienced tremendous trouble, tremendous trauma as a family, and were both products of broken families themselves. My father already had a child out of wedlock by another woman, and like his father, sadly, he continued to have a very flirtatious nature after marrying my mother. My mother's father had been murdered. My father's father had left the family for another woman, only to show up on special occasions. Herein lies the first point that I want to bring out. As young adults, we often don't look at our parents, we often look at our parents as mature, grown, intelligent caretakers of the home, and rarely do we know the true road that they traveled long before our birth into this world. Good or bad, our hearts desire that our parents are our foundation, you know, our sense of being. When untenable turmoil, divorce, separation, or adultery takes place, whether we are young children at the time, or possibly in our 20s, 30s, or 40s, the inevitable question that we ask of a failing parent or parents or their failing marriage is, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? As adults, as young adults, I encourage you to reformulate that question to a more meaningful one that recognizes the reality of life, that good and bad happens to everyone. Sometimes life's unfortunate circumstances bring bad, and sometimes those bad circumstances come by our own choosing. And there are consequences that our parents deal with long before our birth into the world. Consider this prayer by Jeremiah as he reflects on the consequences of sin and its impact on the life of the children of Israel. This is over in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 25. Christ first says this in verse 22. Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. You know, backsliding is what happens in a family. Parents backslide into bad habits, terrible sins, often rooted in their youth. As young adults, we have to recognize that. Jeremiah laments, indeed, we do come to you, for you are the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills. and from the multitude of mountains. Truly, in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. We may look to the hills, we may look to the internet, or we may look to other families in vain, hoping that our family situation was different, that our parents were different. But it is what it is. And why it is often goes back to choices and decisions made so often long before you even came into the world. As young adults, it's important that you observe your parents from that mature perspective and endeavor to learn the lessons from their life as you go forward by asking the question of them, or you asking the question internally of yourself of them, what happened to you? What happened to you? Verse 24, Jeremiah continues, "For shame has devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters." You see, sometimes the physical or financial circumstances a family finds themselves in are due to sins that the parents may have committed either weeks ago, months ago, years ago, or decades ago. Shame or the result of sin can suck the life out of the fruits of a father's or a mother's work effort and life, whose roots of those problems go back years, weeks, sometimes maybe even just days, and how those things have an impact on one's livelihood, one's health, can be tremendous. And it also has an impact on their sons and their daughters' current and future life. That is a reality. Verse 25 says, "We lie down in our shame, and our reproach covers us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth, even to this day, and have not obeyed the voice of our Lord." You know, as a young adult, we wonder, what then would God have me to do? What would God have me to do? I encourage you to consider asking your parents outwardly or asking yourself internally the humble question, what happened to you? Instead of, what's wrong with you? What happened to you? You know, that was Jeremiah's consideration. What happened? What happened? Asking what happened to you is a question of compassion. It's a question reflecting a desire to understand. You may not be able to have that full conversation with your parents regarding the true road that they walked until close to the end of their life. My conversation took place with my mother after my father divorced her after 40 years of marriage. She poured out her soul to me in detail, their marital history from their youth. She said to me, "You're my baby boy, but you're my pastor now." And over the next several months, she walked me down life's road. The picture of not just what was wrong, but the more important picture of what happened began to take shape. And I, as a young adult of 33 with a wife and two toddlers, finally began to understand what happened to my parents, what happened to my family. Like Israel, for whom Jeremiah laments, the sin and the trauma that took place in youth is not an excuse for sin, but it does allow a mature young adult to evaluate the situation as Jeremiah did with spiritually mature eyes, wanting to know true answers and a strong spiritual heart. Young adults, consider asking your parents, what happened to you? If they are willing to share, then hear their story with wisdom, with mature ears, with an understanding heart and a spiritual mind. You know, the past is not an excuse for present sins, but it does shed light to understanding of the past that is often missing when considering the pain of a broken family's present reality. What happened to you versus what's wrong with you may engender a truer conversation of understanding. If possible, at an agreeable time as a young adult or as an adult, maybe you can have that conversation. God has called you, God has called me to be kings and priests in his kingdom. That work often begins at home with family. And it has to begin from the perspective of compassion and understanding with wisdom and spiritual eyes and heart. Asking what happened to you is a question of compassion, a desire a mature young adult should desire to understand. Consideration number two. Broken parent, broken family, what would God have me to do? Consideration number two. Carry the heavy burden of honor. Christ will help you. Carry the heavy burden of honor. Christ will help you. Now, the question was asked by our young adults, how do you honor a parent when there has been adultery? You know, we all know the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land, which the Lord your God is giving you. You know, there is so much in this fifth commandment that could be said, that should be said, that needs to be said, but there's just not enough time tonight to say it all. I want to focus your attention as young adults on one aspect of the word honor. I will define this aspect of honor, then provide some thoughts on how to honor a parent when there has been adultery or egregious acts. Our young adults have asked that question. I want to give an answer this evening. You know, as children or youth, you know, we may live in denial regarding the sins of our parents. Sadly, the peace of mind that denial would offer is often not possible because of the egregious nature of certain sins that are perpetrated. Nevertheless, the command of God remains. The command of God remains. Again, I'm addressing this presentation to young adults because the decisions and questions that are afforded to an adult are different from those that are afforded to young children. And I want to be careful not to simplify any solution with regard to turbulence within a family. You know, the adulterous acts of a parent, and I'm specifically speaking of adultery by a parent with another adult, that type of adultery does not erase the requirements of God to honor one's father or one's mother. It doesn't. It doesn't erase that requirement. Now, I'm not saying that other sexual acts that take place within the family, that those erase God's requirement to honor. I'm just not addressing the acts of adultery when adults commit adultery with non-adults. I'm not addressing that tonight. There are many depths of complexities of sexual sins that take place when adults are involved with non-adults, which warrants separate discussion. Sexual trauma and abuse that has taken place in the life, particularly of a child or a teenager, can absolutely have a devastating impact on their future all the way into adulthood, as husbands, as wives, as parents, as grandparents. Those types of pain rarely go away. That type of trauma rarely goes away. And there are parents in God's church, as it is in the world, for whom that has been the case. And since infidelity ranks nationally as the number three reason given by divorced couples for divorce, fidelity, number three reason given by Divorced Couples for Divorce, the question of adultery that was asked by our young adults is an absolutely pertinent one. How do you honor a parent when there has been adultery in a marriage? First, what does it mean to honor? Again, I just want to look at this one very important aspect. What does it mean to honor? No, the Hebrew word for honor is kabod, kabod, a primary root word that means to be heavy, to weigh heavily upon. That's what honor means. It means to be heavy, to weigh heavily upon. Now, there's an excellent article on Life, Hope, and Truth titled Fifth Commandment, Honor Your Father and Your Mother, written by Mr. Mike Bennett. The article provides excellent definitions and insights into the word honor. And it's an important article for all of our young adults to read regarding this subject, regarding honor. You know, I'm not going to define the different nuances of the word honor, but rather focus on the primary root meaning of kabod, which is heavy, heavy. Because when you're dealing with the question that was asked regarding the adultery of a parent or some very abusive things that take place by parents, which have detrimental impacts on the children who become adults, getting back to the root word and keeping the commandment of God is critical. Understanding the root word of honor is critical. The word kabod at its root means heavy. This is the message of that word. Honoring parents is a heavy responsibility. That's what honor means. Honoring parents is a heavy responsibility. And when it comes to honoring parents where there are egregious acts, honor itself is a particularly more heavier responsibility. You know, what are the characteristics of something being heavy? This word means heavy. What are the characteristics of something being heavy? Something that is heavy should not be taken lightly. It shouldn't be taken lightly. So right from the beginning, this word tells us that honor is something that you need to really think about. Don't take it lightly. Something heavy has to be handled with extra caution, right? If you know something is heavy, you just don't go and grab it and pull it. You say, that's heavy. I'm going to handle it with caution. Something heavy, there needs to be extra awareness. You know, one needs to consider carefully the impact of something that is heavy. You know, if something that is light is dropped, it doesn't have a big impact. But if something is heavy and it's dropped, it has a major impact. So we have to be careful not to drop honor, not to drop honor. Things that are heavy may not change as quickly as things that are light. Things that are heavy often need the help of someone else or others' support. And things that are very heavy require Christ to help you to carry. Now, in the context of what we're discussing this evening, I believe all of these characteristics of heavy apply to honoring a parent, particularly when egregious sins are involved. However, honor is a responsibility that God commands and also for which God extends a blessing. Again, I want to share some personal insight. You know, I had no say in the parents to whom I was birthed, nor did you. My parents were a product of the society they grew up in and were raised by a family that was broken, and themselves were raising five children, having lost two by the time I came along. They were 28 and 30 when I was born. As a young boy, I revered my father. The concept of my father doing something wrong or committing any type of great sin never crossed my mind. He served in the Air Force during Korea. He was an exceptional swimmer and diver. He worked as a dental hygienist. He was a minister in the Baptist church before I was born. He worked for the U.S. Post Office. He was my American Boy Scout club master. He was a representative to the mayor's council in our district. He was an ordained deacon in God's church, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I never thought that my father could do anything wrong. Now, although my older siblings were able to see through the titles, they were able to see through the facade, well into my teens, all I saw was a hero. All I saw was a hero. His image, which had unraveled for my siblings when they were in their preteens or early teen years, took much longer for me. In my early 20s, the adulterous behavior of my father that had persisted for years, I was no longer able to deny. My mother had closed her eyes to the obvious for decades. As she stated, "I was committed to your father in spite of his sins." My siblings, who all left home by the age of 15 to 17, had long since shifted to a cordial interaction with my father. Home was where he slept and prepared for the Sabbath, but that was about it. By the time I graduated from high school, unbeknownst to me, he had a mistress, and possibly mistresses. His life was a near mirror image of his father's. Hence the warning, young adults. We have a tendency to follow in the footsteps of our parents at times when we should not, when we should not. In April of 1995, my grandmother, my father's mother, died after having spent several months being cared for by my mother. My father seemed willing to maintain the image of husbandhood as long as my mother was alive. In the summer of 1995, after the breakup of the Worldwide Church of God, my father sought grounds for divorce and was summarily told by his minister that he did not have to adhere to the requirements of marriage, and that he understood the willingness of my father to seek satisfaction outside of a difficult marriage. That was the advice that he got from a minister in the church at the time. That winter, my father divorced my mother after 40 years of marriage. My mother, sitting alone at home, was startled late one evening by a sheriff banging on the door, announcing that he had a summons for her to appear in court, and placed that notice into her hands. My mother's first call was to me. I didn't know that that phone call from my mother that I received on business while in California would begin our long conversation as her pastor, beginning with the question, what happened? And what happened to our family? The news of the divorce and the way that my father carried it out made its way through the family. It made its way through the neighborhood. It trickled just a little bit into the church. The cordial interactions of the siblings, however, turned from cordial to hatred for him. But God's commandment comes without condition. He says, honor. The word honor means heavy, heavy. The honor became more challenging as my mother shared truths with me about my father's behaviors over their successive years. His cousins, who loved my mother dearly, began sharing stories of my father's infidelity that had persisted over decades, along with his threats against them that they had best not say anything. My question was, God, what do you mean honor? After their divorce was final, he immediately married his mistress, a woman who was 2 years older than me, a woman who was in desperate need of a decent man with an income. My hatred for my father grew. My honor totally disappeared. God's commandment, however, was ever present. How does a young adult honor a parent when there has been adultery or an egregious act? I have 6 points. I will not read all of the scriptures or expound on them, but you may want to take a picture of the screen at the end of the 6 points. And when you read these particular scriptures, you might want to read the entire section, the entire surroundings of that scripture in order to understand its context. You know, how does a young adult honor a parent when there has been adultery or an egregious offense? Number one, understand what honor is. Understand what honor is. Honor is a heavy burden that God requires you to carry. Leviticus 19, verse 32, and I'll just be citing one scripture in each of these points. Leviticus 19, verse 32 says, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear the Lord. I am the Lord." Again, it comes without condition. It comes without condition. But you have to understand what honor is. Number two, humbly commit to doing what God says do, regardless of all the polls and the solid logical reasoning to do otherwise. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 to 7 says this, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon him, for he cares for you." Humble yourself in due time. Humble yourself. In due time, God will take care of things. Point number three. As a young adult, keep open avenues of communication with the expressed wisdom that doing so can be challenging for you, for that parent, and for the parent who is without fault or who is of lesser fault. Proverbs 20, verse 20, "Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness." Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Keep open that communication and guard your heart. Number four, increase communication by providing love and support for the parent that is of lesser fault. Increase communication by providing love and support for the parent that is of lesser fault. Proverbs 23, verse 25. "Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice." Number five, if there is a need that either of your parents has that you can help meet, then with wisdom and counsel, do what you can because of your obedience to God's heavenly law. Proverbs 30, verse 17, "The eye that mocks his father and scorns the obedience of his mother, the ravens of the valley will pluck it out, and the young eagles will eat it." And then point number six, if the relationship is a contentious one, accept it for what it is and do what you can do with wisdom and counsel in service to God, not necessarily what you're told to do, cajoled to do, demanded to do at the request of the other. You are an adult. You are an adult. Timothy 5, verse 1 to 2 says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father." As a young adult, you can exhort. You can exhort. It says older women as mothers. You can't exhort a mother. But it says with all purity, with all purity. Particularly as a young adult, honor and obedience are not the same. Particularly for an adult, honor and obedience are not the same. But that's a topic for another time. Again, you can take a picture of the screen, or you can certainly watch this on replay. Move on to point number three. Point number three, broken parent, broken family, what would God have me to do? Consideration number three, love your parents where they are. God will take care of their calling. Love your parents where they are. God will take care of their calling. Again, the question was asked, one parent in the church and one not. As I stated at the beginning of this presentation, my mother was not a member of the Church of God. She was not called by God to His way of life during her lifetime, and I saw no evidence that she was being called or that she denied that calling. Her mind never seemed to be open to the different doctrinal truths of the church. And what I mean by the different doctrinal truths of the church, those doctrines that make the Church of God different from the Baptist and Methodist religions that she followed. However, it was abundantly clear that God's laws works. They work for whoever obeys them. God's laws work for whoever obeys them. My mother insisted that we, all of the children, keep the commandments of God as long as we were under her roof. And it was her roof. My father was most of the time not at home. Those commandments included all 10 of the commandments, including the fourth commandment that she respected as our Saturday Sabbath and our holy days. But for her, without understanding, was Sunday, Easter, and Christmas. But we had to go to church somewhere. As a young adult, it was obvious to me that my family was broken. As a young adult, it was obvious to me that my family was broken, not because of church affiliation, but primarily because of my father's unwillingness as the one that was called to keep God's law. My mother was far from a saint, but she held fidelity, the fidelity of marriage, in the highest esteem before God. She stated in one of those tearful evenings, "Your father is the only man I ever knew and the only man I ever wanted to know." Whether your parent is in the church or not, if there are things being done by a parent that is contrary to God's law, as a young adult, ask yourself, is it out of their lack of knowledge or is it with knowledge? God will take care of their calling. God will take care of their choices and their marriage. Their marriage. Without the knowledge of God's law, keeping the Sabbath holy, dietary laws, the laws of health regarding abstaining from recreational smoking, the overuse of alcohol, cursing, or lascivious entertainment, can all be a challenge for a young adult interacting with a parent who is not in the church. All of those things can become a challenge. There may be behaviors or habits that parents may have that as a young adult, you may need to excuse yourself from their company. Let me repeat that. There may be behaviors or habits that our parents may have that as young adults, you may need to excuse yourself from their company. Paul provides this advice over in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9 to 10. He says, quote, "I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or with extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world." The parents who are not in the church may fall into that category or may not. My mother's adherence to God's laws, though she was not in the church, my mother's adherence to God's law, which she understood, was stellar in comparison to my father's adherence to the same laws, even though he was called and in the church. God will take care of the calling of a parent not in the church, a parent that was once in the church, or a parent who is in the church and not obedient to God's law. God will take care of their calling. For a young adult who may be in a family where one parent is in the church, or possibly both parents are not in the church, all of the commandments of God apply to you. All of them apply, just like they apply to me. You must endeavor to love your parents where they are, even if you must do so from a distance, and leave their calling in God's most capable hands. That sadly, as it was in my case, applied to my father, who was in the church. The vast majority of the time, I could not keep company with him after he remarried because of the environment and the ongoing lascivious behavior that was an active part of his lifestyle that both he and his new wife accepted. I had to be most concerned about my calling, my marriage, my family, my sons, my standing before God. But as for my father, would I try to understand what happened to him and use it as a warning and never as an excuse for my own failings? Would I carry the heavy burden of honor, knowing that that is what God required me to do? And would I try to love him where he was, from a wise distance, knowing that his calling was in God's capable hands? You know, the last survey question was this: from the most frequent to the least frequent, place in order the following reasons you think divorce might occur. These were the results. Lack of commitment was first, followed by unrealistic expectations, infidelity, lack of preparation for marriage, domestic violence, argue too much, lack of equality in the relationship, and married too young. Those were our survey results. The next slide here is the results from the same questions from over 115 different studies and surveys during the year 2022. Notice its list. Lack of commitment is first, followed by argue too much, infidelity is third, married too young, unrealistic expectations, lack of preparation for marriage, lack of equality in relationships, and domestic violence and abuse. And then the note there at the Bible just says that the respondents were able to answer to more than one of the questions. That's why it doesn't equal out to 100%. You know, behind each of these 115 surveys are people with families and with challenges that need love, that need prayers, and most importantly, need God's kingdom. The kingdom of God is the true final solution to broken parents, broken families, and broken marriages. Now, comparing both surveys on this next slide, it shows that lack of commitment ranks at the top and infidelity ranks in third place. Lack of commitment ranks at the top. Infidelity is third. The other items on our survey, compared to the national survey, are in mixed. Now, many in God's church are challenged by broken and troubled families. Many in God's church are. You know, as a young adult, broken parent, broken family, what would God have you to do? Love your parents where they are, even if they are in the grave. God will take care of their calling. In summary, broken parents, broken family, what would God have you to do? Number one, consider asking the question, what happened to you versus what's wrong with you? Number two, carry the heavy burden of honor. It's a heavy burden. Christ will help you. And number three, love your parents where they are. God will take care of their calling. I will add a fourth consideration. I will add a fourth consideration that's not directly a part of this presentation. The fourth consideration is this: if you are a young adult, please seek premarital counseling early, in advance. And if you are married and you're having serious problems of any sort, seek counsel. Seek it early. Seek it early. Challenges within the family unit are most often huge and very complex and require understanding, require honor, require love with wisdom and Christ's help. The epilogue. Epilogue. 15 years after my parents' divorce, my father remarkably got his life back into spiritual order. Sadly, shortly after getting his life back into spiritual order, he suffered a major debilitating stroke. His young wife dropped him immediately because he was no longer a help to her. He was now a burden. My father landed into the hands of my wife, Lisa, and myself to care for, to honor over the next 7 years until his death. My mother never recovered from the pain of the divorce and my father's remarriage. We continued to talk about that. It grieved her. She couldn't get it off of her mind. Eventually, she died from the result of Alzheimer's disease 2 years after my father's death. Families need our prayers more than ever. And God's church need strong family units more than ever. Thank you. Thank you to the young adults for submitting such a meaningful and provocative topic. Thank you, especially for joining us this evening and for watching the recording later. I pray that it was of some help to you. Consider asking the question, what happened to you versus what's wrong with you? Carry the heavy burden of honor. It's a heavy burden, but Christ will help you. Love your parents where they are. God will take care of their calling. I pray that this was of some help to you. Broken parent, broken family, what would God have you to do? Have a good night and see you next time on Friday Night Live.